A new series called Discipleship, and today we'll be talking about leaving your nets. And so I'm excited about working through this concept, this idea of discipleship with you as we go over these next worship together over the next 4 weeks or so. Please continue to remember the group from that's in Honduras right now. They'll be coming back on Tuesday. Pray that they will have safe travels. I appreciate so much those that have been giving Facebook updates about what's going on with the group. It sounds like they've had a great trip, maybe a sickness or two, but it sounded like that didn't last too long, the sicknesses anyway, so that's good. But God has been powerfully working through that group in Honduras. We appreciate their example of faith and dedication to sharing the message with the people of Honduras. It's good to be together today as we worship God, the one who is worthy of our praise. As I said, we're going to start talking about discipleship. Discipleship is a core component of what it means to be a Christian. We think about that idea of disciple, and we find it throughout Scripture. It's often used by Jesus to talk about his own followers. Disciple simply means learner, student, apprentice. That has that kind of idea behind it. We're going to start by looking at a text in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. So you may want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, or turn on your electronic devices, whatever the case may be. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. The passage will be on the screen here in just a moment as well. Before we get into Matthew chapter 4, though, just a little bit of background, or a little bit of a recap, I guess, on the book of Matthew. So in chapters 1 and 2, we have the birth story. We all know that story well. We've all heard it. Maybe around Christmas time, we've spent time reflecting on the birth narrative in Matthew. And then in chapter 3, John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he is preaching about Jesus, calling people to repent and understand that there is going to be a Messiah that people are going to give their lives to. Chapter 3, towards the end, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. It's a pivotal moment in the gospel story. Jesus goes to the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. Then after that temptation scene, Jesus begins preaching all over that part of the world. This brings us to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. So let's go ahead and read that text in its entirety, and then we'll break it down and unpack this passage as we think about this idea of being a disciple. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's reflect on this story for a little bit. First of all, let's think about the big impact that this story has on our lives, even today, some 2,000 years later. Imagine if these disciples had not responded to the call of Jesus. Would we even be here today worshiping God through Jesus Christ? We think about these disciples answering that call, and through that answering, they gave their lives to the preaching of the gospel. And so through these early disciples giving their lives over to Jesus, they went on and preached, and we see the community of faith multiply again and again to the point that we see the church today is a huge group of people. What if these first disciples had not answered that call? But we do know that they did answer that call, and through their answering that and working with Jesus, the gospel message spread. So this starts off talking about Jesus. Jesus is walking somewhere. Then he sees some men, and then he calls them. It's very important that we note that this story actually doesn't center on the disciples, but it centers on Jesus. It was Him who was walking. He's the one that saw. He's the one who called. Jesus is a rabbi. That's one of the terms that that many people refer to Him as in the Gospels. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. This story, this calling of the first disciples, deviates from how typical rabbis and disciples came into relationship. Typically, disciples sought out a rabbi. They turned in like an application, and then the rabbi could choose whether that rabbi wanted that disciple or not. But we see in this story that the rabbi goes out and chooses the disciples. And the way that he does it is striking. He disrupts the lives of these disciples. Think about it. They're just going about their ordinary business as fishermen. In the middle of just a regular, common day, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, steps into their world and calls them to a brand new life. Augustine said this, "I could not seek you if you hadn't called me already, if you hadn't sought me out." First and foremost, as we reflect on discipleship, it is that Jesus calls us, not that we call on Jesus. That's going to be a part of it, but we have to remember that this story centers on Jesus. He's the one that does the calling. And we think about who Jesus is, the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. Think about the love and the grace that we find in this story. Here, the Creator of the universe, and we reflect on the universe, how great it is, the stars, the galaxies, even as we reflect on our own planet, just how great and big and massive it is. And here, Jesus seeks out these disciples, these ordinary fishermen, and the truth is that He seeks us out to follow Him, to partake in His work as well. There's love and grace in this story as well. Jesus calls these first disciples to follow Him. He invites them to a new life. Jesus, in doing this, is asking the disciples to submit to His authority. This is typical for a rabbi-discipleship or disciple relationship. Rabbis always, at least in that time, disciples would always submit to their rabbis. They would strive to emulate everything that their rabbis did, eating, drinking, their mannerisms, and even how the rabbis would use the restroom. So these, which is gross, but that's how it was. These disciples would want to look like their rabbi. Now, to emulate the rabbi, they would need to submit to His way and His will. That's what Jesus is calling these first disciples to do when He says, "Come, follow Me." He's asking them to submit to His way, to His way of doing things. We think about the idea of submission. And in our culture today, submission is kind of a dirty word. You know, people don't like that idea of submission. They might think that that is weak, that that is outdated, that that is something that we give up control when we submit. So we don't like it for that reason, maybe. I think about my own marriage relationship, and I never thought that I would find myself sitting in the stands of an OU game. Or I never thought about traveling on a regular basis down to Lawton, Oklahoma to spend time with some folks that for a long time I never knew. Never thought about shopping at the Hobby Lobby or the Gap. You know, love makes you do some funny things. There's this idea of mutual submission that Sarah and I have. I'm sure Sarah never thought about riding around a golf course for 4 hours, or sitting in a duck blind, or driving 15 hours up to Ohio. But mutual submission causes us to do some funny things. And what Jesus is calling these disciples to when He says, "Come, follow Me," He's calling them to submit to His way, His teaching, His way of doing life. And then Jesus says this to these fishermen. He says, "I am going to send you out to fish for people." So these disciples knew a thing or two about fishing. Obviously, this was their livelihood. This is their security. This is how they took care of their families. more than likely. But Jesus says that he is going to give them a new purpose. And here's something very important about discipleship as well. As we submit to Jesus, as he calls us to follow him, inherent in that submission is allowing Jesus to define our purpose. So these disciples at one point were fishing for fish. But as they came to follow Jesus, they started fishing for people. It's important to note that Jesus says that he's going to send them out to do that. Other versions, maybe the version that you have in front of you, says that Jesus is going to make them fish for people. He's going to do that within them. It's important, again, thinking about Jesus being the star of this story, that he's going to do it. It's his activity. Jesus is not only calling these disciples to involve themselves in the rabbi's life, but so much more importantly, Jesus is saying, as rabbi, he's going to involve himself in the lives of these disciples. And that is a great truth right there. Jesus Christ involves himself in the life of the disciples. So, when these disciples are going to go out and share the message of Jesus, as they interact with people, they're not going to be doing that with their own power, but it's going to be Jesus Christ working within them. You think about the rabbi-disciple relationship. Being a rabbi meant that there would be teaching. There would be involving each other in the lives of one another. There would be interacting with others. There'd be questions being asked and answers being given between the rabbi and the disciple. Jesus says that he is going to make these disciples fishers of people. So Jesus doesn't leave us to our own devices and say, come, follow me, now do it on your own. That's not how it works. We think about the Great Commission. Remember, Jesus says, go and teach and baptize, all those things. But he finishes that by saying, and lo, I will be with you always. Jesus is at work in our lives as disciples. Just a few weeks ago, one of our last Sundays at Edmond, as we wrapped up Bible class, Sarah and Adeline and I found ourselves in the room with a 25-year-old young lady. In that moment, she was telling us that she was going to be moving over to Africa for at least 2 years to work with orphans over there. As we talked, as we prayed, as we cried together, we could sense the presence of God in the room at that time. But she poured out to us that God had been calling her to this for some time, but she just, for whatever reason, she just didn't want to submit to what God was calling her to do. She had gone over to this area of Africa several times and spent time with the orphans over there. She had gotten to know many of the kids over there. She had a friend that was already over there, and so it was on her heart to do this. But as we prayed together, as we cried together, she said, it's time for me to submit to what God is calling me to do. The truth is, as she goes over there, it's not that she's going to be left to her own devices, but God is going to continue to work through her life. Jesus is involved in her life, and that is calling her to do incredible things for the kingdom. Verse 19, we read this, and in verse 22 as well. At once they left their nets to follow Jesus. And then verse 22, and immediately they left the boat, this is James and John, left the boat and their father and followed him. These disciples willingly laid down their nets to follow Jesus. We think about these nets. What do these nets for them represent? Again, their livelihood, their security, maybe their time of recreation, their purpose in mission in life was all wrapped up in those threads and ropes. But they left it behind to follow Jesus. Isn't it incredible to you that these disciples don't ask Jesus like, okay, who are you? Or where do you want us to follow you to? Or are you serious? The disciples don't ask anything. And according to Matthew's gospel, this is the first time that the disciples interacted with Jesus at any level. There is no question from them about whether they were going to follow or not. What we see in Matthew's gospel is they left their nets and followed Jesus. That leads us to ask a question of ourselves. Are we willing to leave our nets to follow Jesus? Are there nets we need to leave behind? For some of us here today, we might be unwilling to lay down the nets in our life. And these nets could represent security and comfort, and even our own identity could be wrapped up in these nets. As we reflect on that question, some other questions might come to mind. And I think these are very natural questions that we need to reflect on as we think about what it means to be a disciple. So if I leave these nets behind, where is Jesus going to lead me? What will my identity look like if I leave these nets? My identity is wrapped up in these nets. What will others think of me if I leave these nets? Everybody knows that I am a fisherman. Everybody knows that this is where I go. This is what I do. This is how I spend my time. This is how I have my security and purpose. What will others think of me if I lay down those nets and begin to follow Jesus? Is Jesus calling us to lay down our nets? For some of us, we haven't responded to that call, come follow me yet, and so we need to completely lay down those nets. For others of us, we're struggling. It's like we're holding these nets, maybe we're just barely, but Jesus is continuing to call us to lay them down. For some of us, it might be that we need to allow Jesus to redefine how we use those nets, like he did for the disciples. You're going to have nets, he tells the disciples, but now those nets are going to be about fishing for people. So maybe we need to allow Jesus to redefine how we use our purpose and mission and where we find our security. For Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to leave those nets meant that they started healing people. It meant that they started to fearlessly and powerfully preach the gospel to others. Do you think, as they were standing in that boat just doing the ordinary thing, that they would have ever thought that that would have been their life, preaching the gospel, watching people being healed and healing people themselves? They started to witness people come to Jesus in droves. Do you think that that ever was on their imagination? When we leave our nets, it's incredible what God will do in our lives. It's beyond our wildest imagination. And the funny thing is, so often we don't want to trade in those nets for what God can do in our lives. And we're thinking to ourselves, this is the creator of the universe, the one that can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And a lot of times we just say, I'd rather have the nets. And we think about what we're trading in at those times. I wonder if we were able to sit down and talk with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, just have like an interview with them. I wonder if, let's say the question came up, do you regret at all laying down those nets to follow Jesus? If we ask them that question, I wonder what they would say. Do you regret stepping out of that boat? Do you regret leaving those nets behind? I wonder what they would say. I would imagine what they would say is, it was absolutely worth it. Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior, called us to lay down those nets, and we got to be disciples of His. It was worth it. There's a challenge that I'd like to present to you all today. It's a challenge that I'm taking up myself as well. It's a challenge for this week. It's simply that we should pray that God will help us see the things in our life that are keeping us from a deeper level of devotion to Him. I would imagine that all of us have things in our life that are keeping us from going deep into a relationship with Him. And so our prayer is that we will ask God to help us to see those things. And maybe to add on to that challenge, that God will help us let go of those things so we can have a deeper level of devotion to Him. There's a man named Ken that I've gotten to know over the years. He does a lot of work in Haiti. And every time I spend time with Ken, I am completely inspired. He's one of those that is so focused on the work of God that it's contagious. It's so obvious in his life that he has done an excellent job. Or maybe to put it better, that God has done an excellent job in him, helping him to lay down those nets. And my desire is to be like Ken, so focused on the mission of God that I'm completely wrapped up in it, and it's contagious to others. The challenge, once again, pray that God will help you see the things that are keeping you from a deeper level of devotion to Jesus. Jesus is calling all of us, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Maybe there's some here this morning that have not yet responded to that invitation to give your life to Jesus as a disciple of his. If that's the case, we would hope today might be the day that you give your life to him. You can do that in the waters of baptism, being buried into his death and coming out a new person. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this assembly, as you are walking this walk of discipleship, it's just difficult and you are struggling to lay down those nets and you need the prayers of this assembly, we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you. So whatever need that you have this morning, you can come forward now as we stand and sing. When we walk with the